Finovate showcases cutting-edge banking and financial technology through a global conference series featuring short-form demos and thought leadership. Now, the conversation continues on the Finovate podcast.
Welcome to the Finovate podcast. This is Greg Palmer. We are continuing our series looking at the best of show winners at Finovate Europe 2020, which was in Berlin. Today, we're going to be speaking with Dorsum. If you haven't looked at their technology yet, I thoroughly recommend that you check them out. They've won best of show at 3 Finovate Europe events. They also won at Finovate Middle East in Dubai. And joining me today, we have Eko Salai and Gregory Zorba from their team. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Hello, nice to be here.
Thanks for having us.
So to start, I think just give everybody kind of a quick introduction of what Dorsum is all about.
Yeah, so Dorsum is an investment software company based in Budapest, Hungary. We deliver investment software solutions for financial institutions such as BNP Paribas, Raiffeisen, or OTP Bank. The company has a strong presence in the CEE region, and we have offices in Romania and Bulgaria with some 300 employees in total, and we are close to celebrating our 25th anniversary next year. So we pride ourselves in providing professional investment business know-how along with our state-of-the-art software.
It's a really interesting technology platform that you've been able to build. And as I mentioned at the outset, you've won best of show now at many of our events. And for anybody who's interested, you can kind of go back into finovate.com/videos and look at the progression, the evolution of their technology over the last 4 years and see, you know, how they've been able to grow. Obviously, you know, third best of show in 4 years at Finovate Europe is really impressive. And it's clear that you guys are doing something that resonates with a lot of people in the industry. Engaging with customers as individuals is something that you believe is very important. It's also something that is obviously attractive to people who are in the fintech space and our audiences in particular. Can you talk a little bit about why you think the personalization that you're able to offer is something that seems so appealing to so many right now?
Yeah, well, in the world of Amazon and Facebook, we believe that personalized content is a must-have feature for our providers because everyone is getting personalized deals everywhere in today's world. And these big techs that I have just mentioned have a head start because they have built their business models around collecting data, and they are really quickly responding to customer needs. And clearly, brands benefit from providing personalization. The ones that create personalized experiences by integrating advanced digital technologies for customers are actually seeing revenues increase by 6 to 10%, according to a BCG research. And despite possessing significant customer data, we see that several banks have yet to unlock a meaningful level of personalization. We actually have a number for this too. 94% of banks surveyed in the recent digital banking report say that they can currently only deliver basic levels or no personalization at all. So we see that there is still a lot of room to improve here on this level in the financial and banking sector, especially in the investment and wealth management domain. And actually, our communication hub that we introduced at the Berlin Finovate show is all about personalization and giving a personal experience to all of the clients of these financial institutions.
Well, I think it's certainly no secret that people are getting a really strong experience from a lot of different places online. You know, the tech players that you mentioned are able to do a lot. And as you say, they were sort of founded with this idea of collecting this data first. But I think there, you know, there's a growing realization of just how far behind the financial industry is in terms of being able to deliver this kind of personal customer experience, being able to use the data that they already have to suit the bank's own goals. And so that's something that I think we'll continue to see a lot more of. And it's really interesting to hear the way you speak about it and how obviously important it is to you. So, you know, switching gears a little bit, you know, we are able to automate a huge amount of this journey. We're able to bring personal data into a machine that can spit out personalized recommendations. But the way you guys have structured your platform, you obviously think it's important to keep financial advisors in the conversation. Instead of letting the process be more automatic, is there a feeling that, you know, at some point customers could get the same value without having a human being on the other end? Or do you think that financial advisor is a really crucial piece of the process?
Yeah, well, we at Dorsum are all about the hybrid model, as we have emphasized that on this year's and actually last year's Finovate also. And yeah, looking at the world and looking at today's experiences, one would think that 100% automated service is something that people prefer in all of the sectors. But while this may be true when people are buying airline tickets or picking up their meal at a drive-through, studies have shown time and again that when it comes to investing money, people still prefer the human touch. We all actually have a little data to back that up. Investment knowledge among millennials is still pretty low, with only 18% of those polled have confidence in their own investment savvy, and only 30% will talk with robo-advisor bots.
Yeah, so this is mainly what our demo at this year's Finovate was all about, because our communication hub allows for real-time customer engagement, where advisors and investors can chat or send notification, and even sign paperless documents in a GDPR-compliant authenticated platform. And it has automated features such as an educational chatbot or robo-advisory functions to rebalance a portfolio, but the human advisor is still ever-present and available. And for anyone who thinks that texting and chatting is just for millennials, well, let me tell you that my mother-in-law sends me about a dozen stickers and articles on Messenger every day.
Which I'm sure you're just thrilled about. Who wouldn't want that level of communication from their mother-in-law? But, but it's a good point, right? You know, I think this is something which now is beyond just a certain segment of the population. Everybody likes to engage in this way. There's something really appealing about it. And financial advisors clearly need to be able to engage their customers in the way that they want to be engaged. How do you see this shifting over the next 5 or 10 years? Do you see the role of the financial advisor fundamentally changing, or do you think that it's going to be just kind of continuing to give them more and better tools to help them engage their customers better?
Yes, well, advisors will have to understand the needs of the next generation, who stand to inherit about $30 trillion from the baby boomers in the coming years. So by 2030, Gen Xers and millennials will control roughly 50% of the global wealth. So the generational differences that come with such a shift are becoming obvious. So the technological revolution brought with it new ways of interacting with the world, which in turn gave way to new outlooks and new expectations. So essentially, the difference between these generations isn't simply age anymore, but a psychological divide as well. For example, according to a recent poll, 27% of millennials believe that banks will no longer be the primary financial institution in the future, 77% would switch to a bank offering better service, and 52% would bank with Facebook or another tech giant. And non-surprisingly, nearly 50% of responders chose technology as their favorite investment sector.
Yeah. I mean, there's not a lot of surprises in there, although I suppose the numbers are a little bit greater even than I was sort of expecting, knowing what I know in the industry. So that's really interesting. Let's talk about data in kind of the other sense, because obviously you guys have accumulated a lot of data on customers. What can you tell us about the customers involved here that people in the industry might not know? Are there common mistakes that customers are making or common desires that they have that aren't being met?
Well, we have just started a project working on a profiling engine that is based on this data that our systems have accumulated over the years. And what we are trying to work on is look at the behavior of the investors, look at the behavior of the customers, and try to provide a more personalized data, more personalized recommendations, actually, to raise the client satisfactions and to see that actually we are trying to help advisors by giving them this data and providing them with these personalized recommendations so they can help their customers better. The final product that we are planning to have from this project, we're going to be rolling it out to the advisors to help them with providing better recommendations to clients. And on the long term, we are not just going to look at investment behavior. We are trying to look at other behavior, such as listening to music or what type of sectors they are into. For example, when we were talking before this podcast, Greg actually just said about video games and how much he knows about that, and that then he should probably invest in that sector. Right, Greg?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good one, to let people have more control, let people invest in something that they're kind of passionate about, that they feel like they know something about. And obviously collecting more data, and the project that you guys are embarking on, I think is really interesting, because as important as it is for end consumers to know what their financial advisors know and to get information flowing that direction, it's equally important in my view that we have information flowing the other way, that people are able to learn what customers want, what they're interested in, and help tailor those financial pieces for them in that way. So that's something that I think will be really curious to hear as you guys are able to get more data there. Now, switching gears to something a little more lighthearted, I know you know the team at WUP really well. I know you both put a lot of effort into your demos at our events. You both won Best of Show, two companies from Hungary winning Best of Show, F Innovate Europe. And you guys both seem to have, you know, do a good job of getting these kind of interesting elements into your demo, these unusual theatrical elements that still support your core message. Do you feel like you have a little bit of a rivalry with them? You know, do you guys push each other in some ways to do better and more interesting demos?
Yes, we do, but it's absolutely just a friendly rivalry, because fortunately, we are not direct rivals in the market, as they mainly focus on B2C segments with their profiling software solutions, while we have our B2B front-end back-office software solutions. And we have a great deal of respect for the girls and guys at WUP, and our CEOs are on friendly terms, but we didn't know anything about what they were cooking up for this year, and we were honestly rooting for them, because it's great to have so many Hungarian companies represented in the sector, and we really hope that the third Hungarian company who frequently presents at Finnovate, Apello, will also win next time.
Well, and certainly, you know, Apello doing strong work as well. And I think for anybody who hasn't seen the video, you should go check it out, because there's a really interesting costume that they put together, which is a half and half costume, kind of half business, half fun. And it really is half of a suit sewn onto like Bermuda shorts and relaxing wear on the other half, which was, I thought, really excellent. How early on did you guys decide on that and commit to that as an element that you wanted to bring into your demo?
Yeah, about a month before the show, actually, because it's always a challenge to come up with something for the show that's memorable, but it doesn't compromise our professionalism. So far, we've had a drone fly on stage or animated rabbits loving each other in order to explain compound interest, and even live singing and a bit of ABBA last year. So this year's show element was the result of a real team effort. When brainstorming, we decided that we want to show that our Communication Hub product is not just for the young millennial generation, but for more experienced investors as well. So how do we show that on stage? We had a suggestion from marketing, because they came up with the half and half costume, a serious side representing VIP clients and a fun younger side for new investors. And we were concerned because this could have easily been too foolish or silly for the audience. So we wrote a script that initially downplayed the character. But when we brought in people from other departments to check our rehearsals and to give us unbiased feedback, we found that everyone wanted to see more of this duality. So we did our best to highlight both sides, and Ákos here did a wonderful job portraying both. So any closing words on how you felt?
Yeah, well, that's actually what the other guys who saw our sessions before said, that I should just go up there and have fun. And let me tell you, I was pretty nervous before, especially after I had to go in and, you know, shave off half of my beard in the public restroom of the Intercontinental Hotel, which was probably one of the most grotesque experiences of my life. And walking through the whole venue with that half beard, people looking at me really, really weird. But after we got up there on the stage in the costume, and I saw that people are loving the show, and after we cracked the first joke, they were responding really well. It was just really more easy to, you know, just have fun and just play along with it. And I think we all had a lot of fun up there, and it was a great experience for all of us.
Well, certainly Agreed. You see a lot of unusual things backstage at Finnovate, but I've not been surprised by, you know, like that, seeing you come back with, you know, half beard, half and half clothes, even sunglasses that were split down the middle. it is worth checking out the video just to see that costume. But I love the fact that you guys made the decision to commit to it based on data that you went out and got. You weren't sure exactly how much you wanted to go, so you went out, you saw the data, you did some focus group, and you used that data to influence how you ended up doing the demo. That is just so on brand for you guys. I love it. I think that's very...
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Right. That's a smart way to make a decision. So we'll leave it there. I appreciate both of you coming on and being a guest on the podcast. Congratulations again on your Best of Show win. I look forward to see what's coming out from Dorsum going forward.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Greg.
The Finnovate podcast is produced by Informa Connect in association with Provoke.fm Media. Check out Finnovate.com for information on Finnovate's upcoming shows and to learn how you can get involved. The discount code Finovate Podcast will save you 20% on tickets to all of our events. And you can email us at info@finovate.com for information on sponsoring, speaking, or demoing. Thanks for listening.